Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com from coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boyslip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Palo de Borghese.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Tommy Bird Ridge Winery.
Toy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Lane Born Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vivac Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com.
I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Belvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Hey, Busty, probably soaking wet.
Yeah, you guys got some heavy storms up in that area. Hillsboro and Pinellas and what's
just
up there?
Just moved through about an hour and a half ago.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, some serious rains went through here. So,
yeah, sounds like it.
Oh, well.
It's not on the radar.
It's Florida in the summer. What can we say?
That's right.
Yeah.
And there's only a few more months left of summer, so then we go into our...
That's right. Only six, I think.
Much of summer. one week of winter, and then we're back to summer again. So that's
back
wonderful.
To summer again. That's right.
Yeah.
That's Florida.
Welcome to
People
Florida.
Come down here. And, yeah.
Escape.
Oh, wow. Does it ever cool off? Yes, for about a week. We can't tell you what week, but for about a week.
Right. Yeah. It's totally random every year.
Yeah. Yeah. intro, I got to tell you this. I know it's on the program, but the intro is coming in at a timely manner now. For a while there, it had like a 10, 15-second delay, but now it's popping up.
Yeah. So. I just noticed that. It was on time.
I want to mention that to you, because if I wait until we were off the air, then I would have forgotten. So, welcome to All About Wine. It is Thursday. The 18th of August, 2016. If you are listening to us live, then you can call in. And
yes.
Mike has a new announcement for us on your call-in.
That's right. Not only do we have the 646 number, which is out of New York, we're also testing for now, a toll-free number. So you can call the show anytime, but you can get through right now by calling our toll-free number, and that is 866-588-WINE. That's 866-588-9463.
I know. That's the people saying they're going, what is the next number? Oh, here it is. Yeah.
866-588-9463. That's a toll-free number. Call during the show. And if you call any other time, you can leave a voicemail. There's you press 1 to get to the show after it answers, and that'll come in here. It'll ask you for your name. Just say, you know, like I did Mike, and then it'll say, you know, whatever. You'll hear a little music thing, and it'll connect you here. If not, you can press 2 to get to Ron. That'll go to his voicemail, or you can press 3, and that'll get to mine. So there's ways to connect, but it is toll-free, so anywhere in the U.S., I believe that's it, 866-588-WINE. You can call it. Yeah, you can call
Ooh,
us.
Yeah.
Call us on the show. And
call us on
now.
The show. Don't cost you money to call to New York, although you know, a lot of phones now don't charge anyway, but still, though.
That's true.
You know,
yeah, that's true.
We've got ourselves a toll-free number, so
yeah.
We are getting awesome. To be big time here with toll-free numbers and everything. So,
yeah. <All right>. Big time.
Big time. Yeah, I'm impressed. Anyway,
all right.
Never had a number. Yeah. But if you still want to call through New York, 646-727-3235 will also work, or...
Mm-hmm.
Our Facebook page or the website or any number of ways to get in touch with us. Speaking of, this is
mm-hmm.
a good segue into, speaking of getting in touch with us, the we have a listener out in Plant City, actually, which is just east of Tampa area here, Russell Frederick. Russell has sent me some emails before, and so big shout out to you, Russ. Appreciate you keeping us up on top of stuff, and appreciate you listening. But he sent me an email with a link, and I have to share this with you here. The link says, Tasting Room is giving liquor stores a run for their money. And I thought that was interesting. I don't know how a tasting room could do that, but let me go through this article. It says... most of the night, or most of the week, we'll sit down and have a glass of wine, and we'll stop by the liquor store coming home, pick up something, but they don't always have the best prices or the best selection. And limited shelf space, and the store employees at liquor stores really aren't wine people. And we all know that if you've ever tried to buy wine from a liquor store, as a liquor store. They're faced with volume and margins, and if they got to rent, they have to jack up the prices a little bit and stuff like that. But tasting rooms are changing that. The wine club in the nation is changing how wine is sold. The comparison, think of it as a movie industry. When you rent a movie, why, you know, who gives you your movie recommendations? If you're looking for anything what type of movies you want and what you're looking for, you can go to Netflix, and Netflix can really give you a good description, have it right there for you. The technology has also passed on to the wine industry. Tasting rooms now have recommendation technology that helps you select your wines. And based on your preferences, and now that can be delivered right to your door, your local stores. And I'm going to tell more about that in a little bit, about a local ABC Liquors down here in Florida that does that. How it works is you sign up at the tasting room, and the company sends you a 6-bottle tasting kit. And you log into the site, and you're guided to the tasting, and you sample the wines against each other, and then you just click on what you prefer in head-to-head matchups. The taste room makes an informed selection for you, creates your wine profile, and simple, straightforward, this is what you're going to like, so this is what you're going to enjoy with these foods and with this and that and this. Soon after that, the 12-bottle case of different wines tailored to your preferences arrive at your door. Average about $12 a bottle. It can be customized to ship on the dates that you want, the size, contents. Just keep rating the shipments, and they will automatically send a mix of dries and reds and whatever you want according to your wine profile. This writer says he has received quite a few, and every one of them has been a winner as far as he's concerned. He has not found one he didn't like. Plus, every bottle comes with a satisfaction guarantee, so if you receive one that you don't like, they'll replace it and issue a wine credit to purchase another one. Liquor stores aren't going to be able to do this, and if you didn't like, end up liking the one they recommended, you'd be stuck. But Tasting Room is now out there doing this instead, and it's given you a lot of new possibilities and new ways to get your wine delivered to you. So check that out, Tasting Room. Search it. I don't have a site or anything here for it, but Tasting Room is a new way to have the wine delivered to your door in your like profile category. So there you go. Thank you, Russell, for sharing that with us. We do appreciate it. And I told you I was going to talk about something else here about tasting rooms. This is, here it is, ABC Liquor. ABC Liquor is a big, big company down here in Florida. It is the wine company in Florida and spirits and all that. Actually, when I first moved to Florida, that was the first job I ever had, was at ABC Liquor. And this was 34 years ago. Oh, wow. 34 years ago. First job I had down in Florida. I got a job at ABC Liquor. And they are the big ones. Now, you have to give them credit, and people have always said this, you have to give them credit for their name, ABC Fine Wine and Spirits. Because the rest of the country and the rules and regulations right there. The rest of the country and rules and regulations, my engineer just came in and looked for her phone, which was right here beeping in the background all the time. The rest of the country has their liquor stores, their state-ran stores. They call them ABC stores all over. So ABC Liquor down here was quite canning because we get so many people from out of state, and they name themselves ABC, which, you know, hey, good for them. But ABC is being challenged. It's being challenged. Their annual sales is approximately $500 million, which, oh my gosh, that's a lot. But they have stores all over. But they're getting away from some of the cheaper stuff. They're becoming more high-end and with selection service and private label offerings. They've always had private labels, but they're expanding that. They're evolving in Florida. The ABC Executive Vice President Jess Bales, and I never met him. I met his father. His father was a pretty nice guy. But Jess Bales was interviewed, and they asked him about different things. He said, how has the beverage industry evolved in Florida? And said the major change that they compete against are Publix, Walmart, and Winn-Dixie, which all sell wine and spirits as well as Total Wines. But he also said that back in 2005, those chains had a total of 54 locations in Florida. Today, they have 467 liquor and wine stores around Florida. And they're going lower in price points. But they ABC says that they do better on higher end price points. They try to keep up the quality and all that, and so therefore they're charging more. You can get cheap if you wanted ABC, but they said that they specialize more and more in high-end scotch, bourbons, tequila, champagnes, and wines. They say that the as long as they're competing, they have found their niche, but it is, you know, It is affecting them because their lower end is not selling as well, so therefore it's made a difference. People will buy on convenience. You are in a grocery store or a supermarket or any of that stuff, and you want to pick up a bottle of wine, you'll walk over to that aisle and put it in your basket. Whereas ABC is a destination. It's a stop. And so when you go there, it is something that you're actually going for. One good thing about ABC that they've continued to do is they've put on tastings. They've had tastings at their stores all over the state. And, it varies. $9, you get to keep the glass, and there's 20 different wines represented, 25, 30, just a tremendous amount, plus some restaurants and different things. So they also do beers and some spirits and stuff like that in their tastings, which is a great way to do it. One of the most successful things that ABC has done is the private label lines, their block wine series, which sells from $16 to $23. They've got price points, again, from $9 to $100. The expansion of their stores, they've slowed down a little bit. They were all over. They've closed a few stores. They are still, pretty much covering the state, but they're not in Pensacola. They said they're heading that way. And then the big super south, the Miami area and stuff like that, they're looking at starting down there a little bit more. One of the things that's very interesting about this is that legislative procedures, Publix and ABC Liquor have been fighting against Walmart and Target. They're trying to change a law that mandates that grocery stores wanting to sell spirits in Florida must have a separate entrance. Walmart has been fighting that law for 3 years, and so far they haven't won. ABC is joined with Publix, and Publix is big in Florida. The headquarters is just east of Tampa here over in Lakeland, and it's big. Excuse me. And Publix and ABC have joined together to try to stop this. In fact, the local Walmart from where we live here, which is, 4 or 5 miles away at the most, just built a brand new extension onto the Walmart Superstore, and it says wine, or beer, wine, and spirits. Big new standalone store next to Walmart. But they're fighting along with Target to have it within the store, have it so they can sell spirits, beer, everything in the store. They already got wine. Wine can be sold in them, but they're looking at it. So ABC is fighting it. But ABC is doing what they can to stay ahead of the game. Something I'm going to talk to you about quickly here, and it's rather controversial, actually. The GMOs, genetically modified organisms. A new survey was taken that says that the vast majority of Americans, 88%, said that they support mandatory labeling of the foods containing GMO, and 91% of the people said that you have a right to know what you're eating if it contains genetically modified ingredients. The president just signed the bill. Within the last few days. It hasn't been that long. I lost track of the time because I've had some personal issues here at home that's, kept me away from looking at stuff. But the president just signed a bill for a national GMO bill, labeling stuff and all, which actually isn't labeling stuff. What it is, the new GMO bill, gives you a QR code. The QR codes are one of those little boxes with all the funny lines on it. It doesn't tell you that it really tells you that it's GMO or what's in there. It just says you can refer to with this QR code. Or the U.S. Department of Agriculture is looking at putting some sort of a symbol on it that it contains or doesn't contain GMO. Grapes technically could probably classify as GMO. a lot of your wine grapes and stuff. They've done research on it. They've crossbred. They've done stuff. And some of them, they've done some splicing of genes and stuff to bring out the best qualities and different things. We talked to wineries in Oregon. They said that the Pinot Noir is actually, there's all sorts of different strains and stuff like that. No mention of GMO, but I don't know. 48% of the people that have surveyed disagreed to the fact that genetically modified foods pose no risk to human health, which has been proven over and over, I have to say. 39% of people agreed that GMO crops were safe to eat, while 27% disagreed with that. So it's still a controversial thing out there. It's an ongoing thing. The president did sign the law into effect, so it's a national thing, which is probably good, because with each state looking at doing some sort of GMO law, that would give us 50 different types of laws, 50 different types of rules to follow. And the companies were scared of what they would have to do. Even some of them, Vermont was the first one. Vermont laws were saying you had to list this and that. And some companies were saying that they were just not going to put some products up there because it would just, it had to change labels and all that. So, but it's out there. GMOs have been are being labeled, but not just so you can pick it up and go, oh, this is GMO free or this has GMO in it. It's going to have the little QR codes, or it's going to have a special label on the package or something like that. So you know, when you're looking for GMOs, whether you care or not, it's going to have to take an extra step to find out if it is GMO-free or if it isn't or whatever. They haven't came up with the final bottom line yet on that. And, you know, I mean, of course not. It's government. Let's face it. All right. This was a fun article. Couples that drink together stay together. Now, you think, well, yeah, but this article is talking about people aged over 50 that have the same drinking habits as their partners, whether they drink wine, whether they drink beer, whether they drink whiskey, scotch, or whether they drink nothing at all. Those who have the same drinking habits, that drinking the same thing, tend to be happier and have a better chance of staying together than those who have diverse drinking habits. He's a big beer drinker. She's a big wine drinker. The article, the study said that could cause a problem. This is 2,767 couples were interviewed between 2006 and 2016. And they're the question posed about their drinking habits and the quality of their marriage. In half the couples, both of them drank. The husband more likely to drink than their wives, but wives were less satisfied with the relationship when only one drank. Spouses have a huge impact on each other, obviously, because of that, especially when they're older and spending more time together. One spouse has to stop drinking, the other should stop as well. Again, as you're getting older, different drugs, different medications, different things say, you know, you need to stop drinking. So the other spouse should continue to do so. The finding stressed the importance of considering the drinking status rather than the amount of both couples and the quality of the marriage in the older couples. The findings are particularly salient given the increased drinking among baby boomers and the importance of marital quality for health among older couples. So this the study was published in the Journals of Gerontology and Psychological Series B. So, hey, if you're out there and you're over 50, look over at the table next to you, the chair next to you, and see what your wife is drinking or your husband is drinking. And you might want to switch and join them in whatever they are drinking. My engineer just chuckled in the background. Let's see what study proves. Oh, here we go. Since it comes up here, this is out of Health Spectator in United Kingdom. The article says, a new study has proved that alcohol causes cancer. This is according to the front page of The Guardian and The Eye. That's another. The Eye adds the kicker that the study shows that supposed health benefits of a glass of red wine are now irrelevant. The study was published in the journal Addiction, and the only problem with it that it isn't a study. It is a comment piece. It does not contain any research. It didn't go into any statistical analysis or any previous research. It is not been systematically reviewed by peers. In short, it's just a for debate section out of these journals, in which one woman gave her opinion, and it was picked up by these newspapers and ran on the front page. For what it's worth, the person who wrote this article said that they agree the association between drinking and cancer in certain parts of the body, especially in mouth and throat, are significantly strong, consistent with those compared to those who don't drink. So, okay. But you can agree with this. Who wrote this, man or woman? Let me check on this. I don't know. Let me go to the bottom of the article and see who wrote this. I don't know. Well, I guess if you're going to make comments like that, you don't want to put your name on it, do you? But they said that, there's no study on it. Consistency associated between moderate drinking and lower mortality risks are solid enough for us to do likewise. The author of the op-ed, who obviously is not a drinker, is more skeptical about the health protective benefits of alcohol on the heart. And so, therefore, she has continued to release stuff like that. Stage with the opinion of a single academic from New Zealand writing a commentary which becomes front page news for two British newspapers seems a little bit odd, and picking up as solid evidence. If you see a thing picked up from British newspaper, drinking alcohol causes cancer, chuckle and put it down. Don't waste your time reading it, because there's no reason to waste your time reading it, because it's not true. TTB approved a new AVA on Thursday, July 21st. The final rules in the Federal Register establishing the 2,760 square mile tip of the MIT, American Viticulture Area, MITT, MIT. That's in northern portion of Michigan's Lower Peninsula. The tip of the MIT is not, the AVA is not in any other viticulture area. The regulation is in response to a petition submitted on behalf of local vineyards and winery owners by the Straits Area, STRAITS, Michigan Straits Area Grape Growers Association. Designate the viticulture areas to allow vintners to better describe the origins of their wines and to allow consumers to better identify wines they purchased. The final rule will be effective on August the 22nd, 2016. So, what is that? Monday. So, Monday, that goes into effect. Brand new AVA up in Michigan, the tip of the MIT, American Viticulture Area. Interesting. I didn't know it was up for debate. I usually get notices if a new AVA is if a new AVA is around. But that one I didn't notice. This is something that I found interesting. Wine intolerance. I have people come in all the time to the winery and say, I'm allergic to wine. I said, you're allergic to wine. And they said, yeah, I can't drink wine because I'm allergic to it. And I said, okay. I said, what are your symptoms? And they described me symptoms and stuff like that. And I said, you get it with anything else? And they said, no, just wine. And so I tell them that a glass of red wine contains over... Oh, we got the sun shining now as it says. That's nice. We got a glass of red, and the bus people are probably happy. A glass of red wine contains over 350 different chemicals, and a glass of white wine contains over 250 different chemicals. And so it could be any number of things. But this is out of the Wine Advisor, the Wine Industry Network Advisor. And it says wine sensitivity or wine allergy or wine intolerance or red wine headache or white wine headache or Asian flush, which I've never heard of that term. What is the origin of this problem? And he says that there are lots of opinions and there are some controversy about the issue. Sulfite comes up frequently, but few people are actually really allergic and sensitive to sulfite, so this is a non-issue. Tannins have been blamed. But what is the trigger of the problem? It says wine intolerance is a much different issue than a hangover. The suffering after drinking is about the amount of ethanol we consume. I never heard that. Wine intolerance reactions can be severe for some people, consuming as little as a couple of ounces of wine. Wine intolerance symptoms include headache, fatigue, foggy headedness, depression, body aches and pains, nausea, dizziness, congestion, stuffy nose, sinus, lung irritations, chest tightness, skin flushing, and or rashes. Any one of those can show up on there. Over 10 years ago, a patient asked if to help her drink wine again. This is by Dr. Mark Force. He is, and let me get down here to the bottom, give you his credentials. Is a chiropractic physician from the Oregon Ashland area, clinical nutritionist. He's developed different nutritional formulas and has peer-reviewed studies of wine and stuff like that over the years. So he's somebody who knows a little bit about what he's doing. He recently developed a patent-pending nutritional formula for eliminating wine intolerance and sensitivity. Woo. Well, I'll give you that website at the end of this. So she said she loved wine, especially white wine, giving it up because of piercing headaches and foggy headedness. That seemed such an interesting puzzle, he said, that it set him to look at why. After a few weeks, he suggested a four-week clinical trial very precisely targeted to vitamins and mineral formulas. After a few weeks, she was able to joyously savor the Gewurztraminer and buttery Chardonnays. The next time the issue of wine tolerance came up in a new patient, he was excited to do the same thing. But when she used the same vitamins and mineral formula, nothing worked. He was able to figure out a puzzle of this patient's wine triggers. Over time, the triggers for wine intolerance become apparent. These triggers, as it turns out, are naturally occurring compounds in wine that comes from the grape itself, which, again, over 350 in whites are in reds and 250 in whites. He lists the sulfites, phenolic compounds, which is tannins, allylides, prostaglandins, histamines, triamine, and miscellaneous congeners, which methanol, acetone, stuff like that. He observed this pattern, wine intolerance triggers, sulfites, and he has a little chart here of the compounds and how it's, like tannins, the C, let me see if I can make this bigger. No, it won't. Tannin is C76H82O4. 46. That is the, you know, compound on it. But he said that it turns out the triggering compounds in wine can make you suffer are in the food you eat and the air you breathe. So it really didn't make a whole lot of difference. But if these compounds don't metabolize efficiently, you'll suffer. If you're sensitive to histamines, you'll get a reaction whether you drink wine or eat foods that are high in histamines. The problem can trigger headaches and anxiety and all sorts of stuff. Or the irritable bowel syndrome. We're all familiar with that from the advertisements on TV now. If you're sensitive to phenols, the family of compounds that includes tannins, you'll get a reaction. But, you know, let me tell you something. Never has there been a study that shows that tannins will cause a headache. They have been studied and studied and studied, and tannins don't. So, yeah, I don't know. It's genetics. He said it all boils down to genetics. The same is true for all those compounds. Not having enough enzymes to break them down can cause a reaction. So it's a genetic predispositions to being sensitive to these compounds, and it can be tested and know, you know, what enzymes you are intolerant to because of genetic predisposition. How common is wine tolerance? Is a German study in 2012 concluded that approximately 9% of women and 5% of men have the problem. He says, in his opinion, it's higher in America, 12% of women, 8% of men, due to a higher baseline exposure to man-made chemicals in food and in the environment in the United States. So, I don't know. If you are having wine intolerance, what else? All these things. Let's see. Wine allergies, wine intolerance, wine sensitivity, red wine headache, white wine headache, or Asian flush. Maybe Dr. Mark Force can help you. So go to www.vinamilife. Venom My Life. I guess that's what it is. Yeah. So, Venomy, I guess, life. Again, vinamilife.com. So, yeah, if you're interested or if you get wine headaches or all that, if you're sensitive to wines and if you're not drinking wines because you're sensitive to it, probably not very likely that you're listening to this program. Organic, biodynamic, can be seen as a drawback in Napa. Mildew and viruses may actually make wine taste better, but you don't want to get into the true dirt of organic farming with consumers. So, the 10th annual grape growing conference two weeks ago, said that the annual conference of its type, it is the only annual conference of its type in Napa where growers can explain to each other how to give up the Roundup. More wineries are growing grapes organically than commonly realized. Some are afraid to put the word organic, let alone biodynamic, on the wine label. Some of the big wineries said that they don't want anyone to know the wine is organic, which is odd because organic products are very, very big. I mean, it just people have asked me, do you make organic wines? I said, no, I don't. I spray. We live in Florida. It's almost impossible, but I spray. There is a couple of men in Florida that do make organic wines. Organic produce is one of the hottest categories on the supermarket shelves. The prices double what regular fruits and vegetables are. Excuse me again. The story is quite a bit different with wine, though. When you buy pears, it's going to cost you $3 more to buy a pear, but you try to buy wines that say they're organic and they charge you more, you're going to skip it and reach back over and grab something else instead. And, you know, the growing and the loss and all that is a problem. And so they do try to get a little bit more money out of it, but they can't. Organic or not, the growers use spray treatments on the grapes several times a year to fight powdery mildew, and they use organic anti-mildew oils, and so therefore it still qualifies as an organic vineyard. But some places actually leave the mildew alone. They let it grow on there. They said Mathiasen, who is he? He's, I can't find his first name here. Mathiasen is, he has the winery there, Isel Vineyard. What is his first name? I don't know. But he said he's had wines that have a little bit of the powdery mildew, and he said you can't tell the difference. It doesn't make any difference at all. But again, little extra cost that they've got to charge for organic. So organic and biodynamic is not really being used on wine labels in California like you would expect it to be, or you know, hope it would be, because some people are really big into the organic stuff. The perception in Europe is much better. Excuse me, European organic attracts a premium price, and it expected to be quality and all that. So, but oh well, you know, I mean, if you're in an organic, you'll probably be happy with that. If not, then you know, you probably could care less. Basically, people spend as much on legal weed as they do on alcohol. OMG. That is, when you start considering that there's very few states that actually offer legal marijuana. What is it? Oregon, Washington, and Colorado that I know of. I don't think there's any others right now. But the consumers are reaching for cannabis as often as they reach for a can of beer. The typical male spends about $647 annually on marijuana products, while female consumers drop about $634 each year on weed. This is out of the new Market Watch report. That's compared to $645 a year on alcohol and $1,000 a year on coffee, according to Headset, which tracks weed transactions. So, actually, it's more being spent on legal marijuana than it is spirits. The average age of people are, who are loyally members of the local dispensary is 37.6, and even and 5% even fell between the ages of 65 and 95. Says there's 40,000 dispensary customers in Washington State alone. Recreational marijuana, here we go. This is legal in Colorado, Washington, Oregon, Alaska, and the District of Columbia. It is legal for medical purposes in 25 states, but those are usually, has a T, what is it, TCP taken out. So it's just the, it's not getting you high so much. More states are looking at legalizing recreational use, and average age is expected to decline because of it. The legal weed industry is predominantly male, 70%, they're saying, is predominantly male in buying legal weed. But, honey, would you go out to the store and get me a bag of weed? Sure, dear. And so that might be part of it, too. New customers are moving toward vapor pens. It's a new technology that requires less effort to consume. Vapor pens account for 9% of purchases for both male and female customers. So weed has taken over. Weed is becoming, you know, the new spirits, which is not good for all of us. Wine's not going to go away, but as more and more states do it, it all boils down to your discretionary income. You have the income to buy something extra this week? If so, what's it going to be? Is it going to be some wine or is it going to be maybe a bottle of, or maybe a bag of marijuana or a container or whatever way they come in. Kava, sparkling wine. In fact, that's what I'm drinking now. I don't have the bottle. If I can get my engineer to bring me the bottle, I'll tell you what I'm drinking. I am drinking some sparkling wine tonight. This is Stiletto. We talked to the lady, Stiletto lady. She was on. Prosecco DOC. This is out of Italy. Stiletto. STLTO. It has a picture of a high heel shoe on the front of the bottle. It is Italy, so Prosecco. It says on the back, I have no idea because it's written very small. Sophisticated, timeless, lavish, trendy, and outstanding. Just like the amazing women in my life. From the vineyard and cellar to administration and production, Stiletto is an all-woman-run corporation, celebrating women by marrying two of Italy's best assets, wine and fashion. There you go, Stiletto. Sorry, I couldn't read that. But nice. We got it. We tasted it. And loved it. It's a nice sparkling wine. And like I've been telling you over and over again, don't just have champagnes or sparkling wines or Proseccos or Cavas or anything just for holidays. They're good all the time. Cava, upcoming new classification. According to the chairman of the Consejo Regulador, Pedro Bonet, the new Cava di Parola Califesado, I think, single estate Cava classification will start to appear on Cava labels in late autumn 2016. This is following an inauguration ceremony in June, which they just had last month. It specifies that Cava made under this new designation must be produced from a state vineyard and subject to a minimum 36-month aging period on the lees. The new designation was created to focus trade and media attention on high-end Cava. And it says it's not just for celebrations, but also for all the time. Ultra-premium Cava accounts for 2% of total export sales. So you can find it, but it might be hard. Cava is the second-largest Spanish DO by volume and the number one in terms of international exports. The new classification has been welcomed by the majority of the industry, and they said it will significantly increase sales because people are looking for the quality that that will give. Speaking at the launch of the new classification, Pedro Bonet did concede that there is still a long way to go in transforming Cava's image from a cheap product to a premium sparkling wine and encouraged the entire industry to focus on augmenting Cava's image. All right. So, a new classification for Cava. And was funny, the comments down over underneath here was saying, you know, why do they always choose such difficult names for wines when they do that stuff? I mean, make something Cava di Parejo Calificado, I think, or single estate Cava. So there you go. It's out there. You should be seeing it, and it should be out there. I was talking to Mike a little bit before the show. I don't know if you all saw, there was a bad fire north of San Francisco, about 120 miles north of San Francisco. I think it was that far. An area that burned last year, and this town was saved from the fire. This town was saved from the fire last year, all around them, and it was luckily no problems and no anything got them. But their luck ran out this year, and there was a The fire went right through the town, burned up 70%, they're saying, and damaged another 20% of the town's structures and all that. There was a winery that was burned there, and I was going to search that and look it up, and I apologize. I've been not with it this week because of other things, and so I will tell you, we'll follow up a little bit with that next week. Next week I'm going to be talking about Sherry's too, by the way. I was going to do it this week, but didn't get a chance to do my research, so next week. But something else, Big Sur. Big Sur has had fires. 23,000 acres around Big Sur have already had fires. It's already claimed one vineyard and is threatening the harvest of other parts of Monterey. The Monterey County Ventures and Growers Association has saying that the property has been lost. A lot of them has been lost. Far the Big Sur Vineyard said this property is lost. Far it's been evacuated for several days. There's only one entrance in, and it's been heavily patrolled, so they haven't been able to check it. Big Sur Vineyards buys fruit beyond what comes from the property and uses a custom crush, so its winemaking space is spared. Monterey County is home to 8 American viticultural areas. In addition to the greater Monterey County AVA and nearly 46,000 acres of vineyards are planted there. According to Vines and Wines analysts, there are 78 wineries in the county. 78 in Monterey. Oh my gosh, when I lived out in Monterey County back in the early 70s, I think there was 2. 78. Unbelievable. Excuse me, I got to take a sip of my champagne. Tickles the nose of champagne. Bubbles. Okay. Smoke in the Hills. The Bernardus Vineyards and Winery in Carmel Valley manager says that the winery's 3 vineyards have intermittent smoke, and they've been bathed in smoke, as he puts it. The lightning strikes, igniting the fire, and it's eventually burned 162,818 acres, and it's lasted more than 5 weeks. Carmel Valley AVA has had smoke all over. You want to know what you're dealing with, they say, before it hits the crush pad, but they don't know. Now, I checked back on past episodes. I talked about smoke, and I think it was last year because of all the fires. I talked about smoke and how it affects the grapes. And if you can pick it up in the fire. That was, I don't have the information in front of me now, so I'm not repeating any of it. But you might want to check that out, because there is a lot of, I talked about a lot of stuff on that, about the how smoke can affect the grapes and stuff. They're saying less exposure to skins. Volatile phenols are concentrated in grape skins, so less exposure is better. And that might mean that there's going to be more rosés and less red wine. Yeast selections extract less of the barbecue flavor that accompanies smoke taint. And oak, investing in high-end oak barrels, getting top dollar for them, but it's going to return in a better wine. So these are things that they're saying they're looking at here. But grapes are susceptible to smoke after Verizon. And a lot of the properties there have already seen Verizon. So, but some of them haven't. It's just, you know, what grapes you got planted. Furthest along in the growing season are the Pinot Noirs and Chardonnays. But the they're about 3 miles from the coast and 4 miles from the fire. So they say that it is so far pretty safe. And let's see, they're talking to other, they talked to other wineries here about the smoke damage and stuff. Says, according to Cal Fire, more than 3,000 personnel are fighting the fires. And it says, it has claimed the life of a dozer operator. The blaze is 10% contained as of 5 days ago. So it might be fully contained now. No, let's see. for Cal Fire. Let's see if this gives me a quick update. Incident location. Oh, my gosh. California Fire Map. Oh, this is amazing. I never clicked on this. Let's expand this. California Fire Map. Yeah, this is horrible. Wow, I didn't realize they... I'm going to have to save this so I can take a better look at it later. A lot of fires over there. And California being full of vineyards everywhere you go, I am sure it's affecting them all over the place. I'll check into this more, and I'll give you some more updates next week of what's happening, what's going on, and what is been burned and what hasn't, and what, California Farm Map done. I'll give you some more information and let you know what's happening with the fires out in California. Drought's bad enough, but you can water and recover from drought. You can't very easily water and recover from fires right away. So I will follow up on that for you and let you know. Along the same line, let's see, that's the vineyards destroyed on that. Monterey Fire. Let me look at this next one. Here's another follow-up a couple days later about the Monterey Fire. And it says, Monterey Fire destroys a vineyard owner's home. This was 3 days after that other article that I just read you. Thousands of firefighters are still battling the wildfire in California's Monterey Valley, and it destroyed a winery owner's home. They just listed some. I'm going to check on all the wineries in that area and all that. Wow, there's more to this than I thought there was. So I will report some more on this. I'm going to let you know more on what's happening with these fires out there. I was looking at the one in Northern California above San Francisco, but this map here shows me some tremendous amount of fires and all over the place. Oh, somebody's calling in. They didn't know about the 800 number. So I will follow up on that. One other thing here. Let me end with this here. Where is it? This one? Oh, no, this isn't the one. It is this one here. Bird damage. We've talked about bird damage. Ohio is starting to experience a lot of bird damage on their grapes and on their vineyards now. It's not just, grapes, but that's what we're talking about here because we are all about wine. But it's fruit loss to birds is a challenge to growers in Ohio. Studies showed that bird damage to five fruit crops, including the honeysuckle crisp apples, wine grapes, blueberries, sweet and tart cherries, in five U.S. states, including California, Michigan, New York, Oregon, and Washington, were estimated at $189 million. Put up netting, and we've talked to some that do netting, but quite a few berry growers who work in Ohio have adopted the netting method. The overhead netting looks like a huge bird cage, and it has to be tight, and it has to be away from the fruit. If you get it too close to the vines, then the birds can land on it, and if it's not tight, and still get the fruit. And so you have to be sure it's put on right and it's set up right. Netting, it's expensive to install. It's found it's something you have to do. Some of them do as little as a half acre. Some, cover 10 acres. Blueberry growers in Canada cover 20 acres of blueberries with netting. They're also using other devices, cannons, radios, anything to scare the birds away. You've seen those things in front of stores that have the fan underneath it, or the blower underneath it, and it goes up. It's made out of, plastic, and goes up, and it waves its hand and comes back down and goes back up and waves its hands, and you know, the big plastic thing. They're putting those in vineyards. Air dancers is what they're called, if you happen to know that name. And they said it's worked so far. But there are also other devices, fake owls, hawk kites, Mylar tape, scare eye balloons, and lights all work for a while. And then the birds get used to it and come right back. So it's a... they're looking for some sort of a spray or something that might be able to be used to make them stay away from it. They don't know yet. Falcons have been used on the West Coast, but they find that it's not cost effective unless you have 50 acres or more. So Ohio's having a problem. Actually, everything on the East Coast is having a problem. We talked to wineries in the Long Island, and they were saying that they have to net every year because they're in a migratory bird path, and throughout the Midwest, they are all in the bird path. So the falcons would be nice and stuff like that, but small vineyards is not cost effective. But bird damage is really a problem, which can devastate your crop, actually. So until next week, I will be talking. I'll follow up some more on these fires here, but next week I'll talk about the Sherry. I looked some stuff up, and I'll talk about Sherry and how it's made and different types and a little bit of background on it. If you're not enjoying Sherry, you should too. It's a little bit stronger, but it's a good glass of Sherry. It's really nice. Everybody has heard of Bristol Cream, Harvey's Bristol Cream Sherry, and people like that. It's really, really good. But there's lots of other types out there, too. So.
Awesome. Okay. I went to the website, tastingroom.com.
Oh, did you?
While you were talking about it. And I went through the, you know, sign-up thing, read some of the information on there, how it works and everything. So you go in and you sign up with your email address and your zip code, and then you go through I think it was four survey questions. It was like, you prefer, you know, dark coffee or whatever, or you don't drink coffee. You prefer, I forgot the other questions, but anyway, you get to the final page, and the normal price is, what was it, $39 or something for the tasting sample, but it drops down the price after you take the survey to $9.95, and shipping is included. So you get six mini bottles of fine wine. Then you get that to your door, and you have to rate the six selected wines in the tasting kit. You go online, you rate it, and they set up a profile for you, like you were saying, and then you start receiving the shipments. Now, this is the part that got me, because I was like, I'll have to pass on this. But immediately after you've rated the wines in the kit, you receive your profile. They'll ship you 12 regular-sized bottles at 750 milliliters of wine that match your personal taste 2 months later after that. And then every 2 months thereafter, you get a new case of wine selected just for you, and you pay as little as $13 per bottle. So if you get 12 bottles, $13 per bottle, it comes out to $156 every 2 months is what I'm reading into this.
Do they charge you shipping again?
I don't know. It doesn't say anything about that. It just, it doesn't say anything about shipping on it. It just says that what you pay is $13 per bottle, as little as. So I'm sure this $20 bottle, you know. But and then it takes you to the form to fill it out, and there's nothing on there that I could tell as far as, are you able to cancel it? You know, you get this special deal now. You got six bottles of the little tasting samples, mini bottles, for under $10, and they include the shipping. There's nothing on there that I could find that, you know, well, I don't want to be paying $156 every 2 months. And
exactly.
I don't think I can down 12 bottles of wine every 2 months either.
And some people can't. You're right.
It, it's a little expensive, a little, not expensive. It's a little, it's a little much just for, you know, if it was spread out a little bit more, I could see it, but there, I didn't see anything on there as far as, you know, you're able to cancel or, you know, oh, there, maybe there is something terms here. Maybe I should read that, but I did go there and it's a simple process and, you know, $9.95 and, you know, I guess you're hooked into it after that. So, every 2 months you get 12 regular sized bottles for, as little as $13 per bottle. So that kind of leaves it open as far as. Then I went to Venami. Venami-test.com is the supplement or the which we're talking about before. If you have an intolerance to wine, they have a deal for three bottles, which they say is a 45 to 90 day supply. And it's kind of a trial phase and you get three bottles. It says it should last 2 to 2.5 months, depending on whether you use the accelerated protocol, or you do the complete protocol. They have different things. I guess there's a maintenance phase and all that, but the three bottles for a 45 to 90 day supply is $90. And, the good thing here now is they specify there is an ironclad guarantee, so you are always protected by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So if you are not completely satisfied, you can return the unused portion of Venami, even an empty bottle, and receive a full refund. So you could test it out. If it works for you, fine. You keep going on the program or whatever and keep getting them, you know, whenever you need them or you run out. If it doesn't work for you, you know, send it back and there you go. You get your money back. So that does seem like a interesting thing. If you think you are affected by it, there's information on the website. So, and there's a backstory, there's all kinds of stuff and the chemicals and testimonials and all that kind of stuff. So you can go check it out on the website.
I question though, he said, and it said in the article, he said that they found to be genetic, reasons for that. So these pills are going to bypass that genetic reason?
Yeah, I didn't get into all of the details and stuff, but yeah, there is a.
I don't know. You know.
Yeah, Mark. What'd you say? Mark Force, I think it was, suggested a 4-week clinical trial of very precisely targeted vitamin and mineral formula to determine if that would solve someone's wine allergy. And after a few weeks, she was able to joyously savor her buttery Chardonnays. So that kind of how the invention began and all that, I guess it's there's a lot more, I guess, to be read on, I guess, about it. But it does mention the symptoms like you did, and there's some information on the website about that and frequently asked questions, the chemicals and stuff, the intolerance overview and all that kind of stuff. So kind of interesting.
Well, if somebody's,
to go see.
You know, if somebody's developed a allergy or whatever, against wine and they've enjoyed it before, because I've had people tell me that. I've had people come in and say, you know, I used to not be able to take wine. I used to have an allergy and now for some reason it's gone away. I guess if someone's drank wine before and the allergies come on, it might be something that they can look into.
Yeah.
To, you know, go back to enjoying wine.
I wonder if he would be a guest on here. It'd be interesting to
talk
to the man who figured this out. it's Mark Forrest. It says DC, whatever DC is. I think you mentioned
Dr.
that.
Dr. Carpenter, I think.
Okay. Well, we'll see. See what happens there. And you have, so I was doing that while I was tweeting little bits and pieces, then you're going on to the next topic.
That's like, what you always do.
I just checked this. I know.
That's why you're so good in the background there. That's why.
And how I
miss
type
you
fast.
Whenever you're not on the show, because I'm going, oh no, Mike would have looked that up for me. You know, so
look that up. Research and development. Your tip jar last last month was for the St. Francis Animal Rescue in Tampa. It's a great non-kill shelter that does a wonderful job of finding homes for cats and dogs. And you collected almost $300 for the cause for St. Francis Animal Rescue.
People like fantastic. Cats and dogs.
Yeah, absolutely. And this month, the tip jar goes to the Alzheimer's Association of Florida Gulf Coast chapter. And you put a thing in your newsletter, which I got. Yay! 1 in 10 Americans will suffer with some form of Alzheimer's. So research is obviously an ongoing, continuous task, and any donation is always welcome and helpful. So stop by Florida State's Winery anytime this month and put a little something in the jar, and goes to help the Alzheimer's Association of Florida Gulf Coast chapter.
Let me jump in here. I've got to tell you something. I had a lady, the first day we put that jar up there, I had a lady come in, she said that she lost her husband to Alzheimer's, and so she started to do some research. She went to check into Alzheimer's more, and she volunteers, she says she volunteers all the time for all sorts of events for Alzheimer's. But in 1906, Dr. Alzheimer's was the one that pinpointed the Alzheimer's as the disease and what it does and the symptoms and all that stuff. From 1906 to 2016, a period of 110 years, there has been zero advancement on stopping, curing, slowing it down, any of that stuff on Alzheimer's. They treat different symptoms and stuff like that, but there's been nothing that has been able to. I thought that was amazing fact there. Any other disease in 110 years, you can say, well, we made this progress or that progress. Alzheimer's, nothing in 110 years.
Wow. That's sad.
Yeah.
Very sad. All right. Let's see. What else? You have Wine Fest coming up Saturday, the 20th. And that is hold on just a second. So you do have a Wine Fest this Saturday? I want to make sure it wasn't a typo.
Yes, okay. It is the same.
All right, hold on a second. I'll be back in a minute, and we'll make this real quick.
Coming up this Saturday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., it's Wine Fest at Florida State's Winery.
Actually,
in
hold on. No, not that one. I don't like the restroom sound there. I feel like I'm in a stall somewhere, you know. Something, I don't know. had my laptop with me and the echo, you know. A glass of wine, relax, enjoy the day, participate in an informative wine tasting with Ron, show host right here, a winemaker and everything. Have a little fun and shop the vendors. It's a lot of unique and handmade items and some that you have known for years. There's going to be a lot of vendors out this weekend, so come on out. That's Saturday, August the 20th, 2016, in case you're listening to this in a couple of years. 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., that's Eastern Time. And that is at Florida State's Winery. Enjoy visiting the vendors and more. Shopping is always fun. It's a great chance to pick up unique gifts for friends. And come out and enjoy the weekend at Florida State's Winery. The weather's going to be, I don't know.
It's going to be Florida. Yes.
It's unpredictable. It's unpredictable.
Yes.
Be prepared. But there's always inside. You can always go inside, and it's there's things to do. So it's a lot of fun. And we'll see you there. So come on out, 11 to 4 p.m. this weekend, Saturday. And let's see what else. I guess that's it. That's all I have. There's going to be a lot of vendors, so stop by. And call the winery direct for more info, 813-996-2113. So we'll go ahead and end the show. We'll see you next, the 25th of August. At 7 p.m. Eastern Time right here. Don't forget, we do have a toll-free number. You can call at any time, leave us voice messages. Number 2 for Ron, number 3 for me. Why would they get in touch with me for some reason? I have no idea.
They might.
They might.
You search. They might want you to search something.
Yeah, there you go. Yep, get right to that. Give us a call.
Don't forget to tune in to Mike's radio program tomorrow.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. 3 to 5
Sky
p.m.
Blue Radio. From 3 to 5
mm-hmm. Eastern Time. And there's also a toll free number for that. It's 1 to 3 p.m. Mountain Time. So, I'll see y'all next next time here. We'll be back Thursday, the 25th. So thanks for tuning in. Have a great and enjoy the wine. And enjoy
Thank
the
you
wine.
All very much. Thanks, see you next week.
Thank you. We'll see you. Thanks.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida States Winery. Florida States Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida States Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@flune.com. That's corp@flewn.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.